Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy that you show us every day. Lord, we just thank you that we can gather here today. We can come here and we can worship you, for you are worthy of that. And Lord, we can come here and we can listen. We can be obedient in our hearts and our minds to your word, to receive it. Lord, I ask you to give us understanding of what we receive. And I ask that you be glorified, not just in this service, but in our lives. And we just pray this in your name. Amen. All right. This whole Christmas series, we've been making the case that this is not just a good story, not just a good tradition. This is a divinely ordained plan by God from the beginning of time. It's the most significant historical event in human history. God becoming flesh, dwelling with us. We've been making the case from Scripture, how it was ordained and how it was prophesied to the smallest of details, and how those details became reality. We first looked at God ordained a plan that a male child would destroy evil, seed of the woman. Then God ordained the child as a descendant of Abraham. Then a descendant of David, a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish Savior. God ordained the divine nature of the child, that this would be God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. God ordained the place of the birth, Bethlehem. God ordained the time of the birth, to the exact day of when the Messiah would walk and ride into Jerusalem. God ordained the miracle of the birth. A virgin would conceive. And that virgin would be Mary. And as the angel told Joseph, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So the reality is, Jesus, he really came. It's true. He really came. And we celebrate it every year. We look back to that moment in human history when it gives us hope, it gives us joy, it gives us peace. The Bible had predicted this coming of Christ, and it came true. Not only did he come, but he did what the Bible said he would do after he came. John 1, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus lived this perfect sinless life, tempted in every way we are, but without sin. He fulfilled his ministry, the Bible had foretold about in Isaiah, where he was to preach freedom to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind. Then he would go to the cross to take care of the sin of the world. We saw that prophesied in Isaiah 53, the whole chapter, but let's just go with these few verses here. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, peace with God, was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that is the heart of the Bible right there. Everything you need to know is right there. We, all of us, have gone astray, done our own things, made up our own ways, decided what we will believe and what we won't believe. What makes us feel good, what doesn't, we pick and choose. We've all gone astray. Every person in human history. And that separate us from God and let us would lead to the judgment of God if God did not show us His grace. And that's what Christ is all about. coming to deal with our injustice and to take care of the justice of God upon Himself. That's exactly what He did. He went to the cross. He went into the tomb. He came out of the tomb. And then He ascended on high. Everything the Bible said He would do in His first coming. Everything. Over 300 prophecies fulfilled in Christ. Just 8 being fulfilled in one man, you could win the lottery 10 times over. That's the odds. 300? It's beyond comprehension. Exactly as the Bible said. But before His final departure, after His birth, His life, His ministry, His sacrificial death, His resurrection, and His ascension, before He departed, He told His disciples something quite amazing. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. The first time He came, the Bible had prophesied about it. We saw it from 500 to 700 years to over 1,000 years written prophecies before He came. And He came. And then He says, I'm going to come again. And the Bible also in the Old Testament, many passages, many prophecies about the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ comes in two phases. The first is what was known as the rapture of the church, the taking of the bride of Christ, a miracle of God. God, Christ, comes down into the clouds, and He receives us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be also. So the first phase of the second coming is to take the church home, where He is, where He has prepared a place. That's what He says. The second phase will be 7 years after that point, where He returns physically to Jerusalem, to the nation of Israel, to the throne of David, with the church. This is what the Bible has prophesied. This is what Jesus has stated. If everything the Bible said about the first coming came true, then we can conclude what? About the second coming. It's going to happen. How close are we? It's great that we celebrate this every year. We look back to a moment of hope and of peace and of just God fulfilling His Word. But there's a moment coming. There is a moment coming that we also need to look to. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Biblical way of saying we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Now I want to show you a movie clip. Don't start it yet. Many of you have seen this before. But I want to make sure the light doesn't distort the video. Oh, wrong one. That's good. All right, Gordon, play it.
Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
of the church. An amazing miracle. That's what it is. It's a miracle. What is a miracle? It's God breaking the laws of physics, because only God can break the laws of physics. It's not the first rapture in the church, located in the Bible, me. First rapture was Enoch. The Bible records that he walked with God. He was a good man. And God took him. He was there and then he wasn't. Then there was Elijah, called up to God in a very fiery chariot. All miracles. But God can do that because he's God. Then there was a smaller kind of a rapture situation in the New Testament with Stephen. Stephen was located at one place and God needed him at another place to testify of the gospel. And he was there. Boom, gone. God can do these things because he's God. And God has said, in a moment, a twinkle in an eye, I will come and receive you unto myself. If the first coming of Jesus happened, and it did, the second coming is going to happen. You just put two and two together. But just like the first coming of Jesus, the world was not ready. No one was ready for this, except for three. Well, we don't know three, but some magi from Babylon knew. They were it. Everyone else had to be told by angel. The world wasn't ready. The second coming of Jesus will not, the world will not be ready either. Even many who sit in churches today are not going to be ready. Just like most of you jumped in that video, caught you off guard. Sad reality, many will be taken by surprise that day too. The Bible's prophecies of Jesus' return tell us that before his physical return to the earth, to set up the government that Isaiah talks about, the prophet Isaiah, before he returns in that fashion, he's going to return for his church. Since the rapture of the church is before the end of days, the last part of human history where God is setting up everything that he has stated he would do from the Old Testament, before that last 7-year period where he's trying to break through to all the people who have been so stubborn and so prideful that they would not repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Since the love of God and the goodness of God did not draw them near, then he's going to use that last 7-year period to break them. Not to be mean and cruel, but try to reach through their stubbornness. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what 7 years is about. It's also about bringing the end of evil, and justice will reign. And the earth will be ready for his return. But before that period of time, that's 7 years. He returns for his church first, phase one. When does that happen? How close are we to that? Well, the Bible doesn't give us prophecies about when the rapture will happen. It just tells us it'll be before the tribulation period. Now, when does the tribulation period happen? Well, it doesn't give us the exact time that it's going to happen. But he does give us signs. When you see these signs from Scripture, know your redemption draws near. Matthew chapter 24, the disciples are like, look at our amazing temple, Jesus. The whole temple they didn't understand. The whole temple complex was pointing to Jesus Christ. There's Jesus standing next to them, and they're amazed with the temple. And they're going, Jesus, look at this temple! And Jesus says, hey, there's a day coming, and none of this will be here. It'll all be gone. So they come to him in verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? End of time. We spent the Christmas season celebrating the first coming. And we should. It's a glorious, beautiful thing. But as we enter, as we come to the end of this year, and we enter the new, looking at the new year coming, folks, we don't have to keep looking back to find hope. There's hope coming. There's a moment coming that we can't even imagine. How close are we? Well, let's look at what the Bible tells us. Let's look at the signs the Bible gives us. Now, the very first sign that we are near the end of days might take you by surprise. See it in Hebrews 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus Christ is the first sign in Scripture that the end time clock has started to tick. Well, wait a minute, that was 2,000 years ago. Yes. What this is saying, Peter wrote about he was in the last days. Paul wrote about he was in the last days. What does this mean? It means that in human history, from start to finish, when Christ appears, there's less time after Christ than there was before. Okay? Jesus Christ started the end time countdown. God is patient, so it's not a fast countdown. But it started with Christ. The second sign, found in Jeremiah 23. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called. The Lord our righteousness. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible prophesied, we've talked about this, that Israel would go to the land, but they would not remain in the land because they did not stay in their covenant relationship with God, but rebelled and went to false gods. And finally, their religious hypocrisy and their stubbornness of heart, God said, I'm going to scatter you among the nations. Israel will be wiped off the face of the earth. She'll exist no more as a nation. Jesus said the temple will be gone. And in 70 AD through 120 AD, it came to an end. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The final destruction of the land itself. Rome came down so hard on the Jews for their rebellion. Wiped most of them out. Scattered them among the nations. the Roman Empire, came in and they salted the ground. They tilled the ground of Israel up and salted it so nothing would grow there. They destroyed and wiped clean the land. The Bible said this would happen. But then the Bible also prophesied that when Christ came back the second time, He'd return to the nation of Israel. The Israel, all the Jews that were scattered among the nations would come back. And they would do something that no other people group had ever done in human history. After a nation was wiped out and they were scattered and they were no more, to come back and become a nation. The Bible said only one nation will do this in human history, and it's the nation God chose. Israel. Of all the nations, little Israel. I mean, it's little. Show me where Israel is. Yes, you can look at the region. You can't see it, can you? And what's so amazing is that God said this will happen in one day. How do you form a nation in a day? 1948. The UN. After World War II, one UN resolution voted to give the land, now renamed Palestine, back to the Jews. They were a nation in one day, just like the Bible prophesied. Why does the nation have to be there? Because Christ is going to return to that nation. Go to the next slide. Look how small Israel is. It's an insignificant little country in the world. It's tiny. But it's done something no other nation in human history has done. God said it would happen, and it's happened. It's one of the biggest signs in the last century that the Bible is true. But for the most, whoa, right over their heads, bouncing off their stubborn, prideful hearts, they refuse to see what it truly is. It's a prophecy. It's a miracle of God. Exactly as he said it would happen. But not just this tiny little country. Oh, it goes even tinier than this. The prophecies. Let's go to the third side. Zechariah 12. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. And they will lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in the day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. So this little tiny country, you can drive across it in one day. And now a tiny little city in that country, in this great big world, why would all the people of the world care about one little city in one little insignificant country? How could the whole world come to be captivated by that? But guess what? It is. Next slide. President Trump announced a move of embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. What did that say? We are recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. What happened in the world with that simple little move of a building? Chaos. People are going, oh no, it might be the end of days because this will start World War III. It's going to rip the Middle East. The whole world is captivated with Jerusalem. Why do they care? It's just an insignificant little city in the world, isn't it? Well, actually, no. Because God said it's greatly significant. And He said all the people of the earth will be burdened with this little city in this little country. And guess what? We are. Just like God said. Interesting. The fourth sign that we're near the end of days. Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the way, or I'm the Christ. And will deceive many. Nowhere in human history have there been so many belief systems. So many false ideologies. So many things that even when you study it, they contradict themselves. I've never seen a time period where so many people are saying, we're the way. We're what to believe in. But you know, when you start studying all these things, do you know they have something? They have multiple things in common, but one thing they have in common is they reject this. They all support a rejection of this to their way. This that has been proven to be written by God, because only God can know the future. The future is written in here. Then we see the future is played out. Oh, this was written before that event. Wow. And now we got things telling us about our future, and we start to see them around us. Wow. There are so many false belief systems out there today. You can believe in whatever you want. The fifth sign. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, though. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So before the end comes, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And geez, is that not what we're hearing today? Constantly? The last century, the 20th century? Next slide. The last century, there was more wars and conflicts around the world than any other time in human history. More people killed in the last 100 years than all the centuries combined. World War I started to kick it off. The war to end all wars. Near the end, you'll just have wars and rumors and threats of war. We started the 21st century at war. We still are. There's global threats now of war with China, Iran, Russia, North Korea. Wars and rumors of wars. The sixth sign. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now this is not talking about war. This is talking about just having conflict with one another. Right now the European Union is divided. They're working against nations. It's just the coalition is strong but weak. That sounds something else prophecy talks about. Asia is tearing itself apart. Africa, there's conflict. South America, Central America, here there's conflict. Nation against nation, economically, and all sorts of stuff. It's not very much stability when you look at the governments of the world. There seems to be a lot of chaos in national governments around the world. China and Japan are at odds right now. The EU and Russia are at odds. North and South Korea. You can go on and on. There's just nation against nation. The seventh sign. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Towards the end, there'll be an increase. And we see an increase of natural disasters today. And they're climbing and giving the credit to global warming and all these other things. But let me just say, it doesn't matter the cause. What matters is it's happening like the Bible said. And it's just going to get worse and worse. You're not going to be able to stop it. But things will increase disaster-wise. Towards the end, this will be one of the signs. You can go to the United States Geological Survey website, and you can go to their earthquake statistics. So I went there. That is the latest graph. That's starting in year 1900 to 2014. Right? Is that what it says at the bottom? Yeah, 2014. This is a U.S. government. This isn't a conspiracy website. This isn't a religious website. What does the increase look like since 1900? It's increasing. They have all their explanations for it, but it's the point is they're increasing. And the Bible said that. Now, here's what I found fascinating. The graph only went to 2014. Now, you can go ahead right there. Don't click, though. The last 6 years, 2014, so that's 5-6 years, weren't on the graph. So you had to go in and you had to manually look at their spreadsheets and count up the earthquakes. So I wanted to show you something that's fascinating. From the time there was reliable recording of earthquakes, from the year 1000 AD to 1800, that's 800 years, there were 30 major earthquakes. My eyes are getting bad. I look like a six back there. 1800 to 1899, so just a 100-year time span. So we went from 800-year to 100-year. There were 59 major quakes, a little bit of an uptick, not much. 1900 to 1999, 100 years, there were 300-plus major earthquakes. That's kind of an uptick. But then I was curious about the data that wasn't on that graph. So I went into their spreadsheets. You can go on their website, and you can go, and you can start counting. It'll take you 30 to 40 minutes. I did it because I wanted to be accurate in here. So I went in and I counted the earthquakes from 2000 to 2019. 6.0 and greater. I didn't mess with anything below 6.0. Just 6.0 and greater. In 19 years, here's how many earthquakes. 2,792. Please go and check my math. It's an amazing sign that God said would happen near the end of days. But not just earthquakes. All natural disasters. Forest fires, tornadoes, hurricanes. And he started going back through the data over the years. There seems to be an uptick starting in 1948. What happened in 1948? Israel. The eighth sign. All these are the beginning of sorrows. This is getting us near the end, but the end is not yet. This is what happens before. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. There'll be persecution against not just the Jews, but Christians. Uptick. Go to the next slide. We've seen an uptick in Christian persecution. Unlike, the last time we saw it like this was back in Rome, the Roman Colosseum. Christians being crucified, modern day. Jews being attacked outside all through Europe and even here, anti-Semitism back on the rise. The ninth sign, first part of it, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. You know what's the amazing thing here in America? Started out as a Christian nation. No one can argue that if they're being honest. It's obvious. You can go to Washington, D.C. All the monuments there, the buildings, have Bible passages engraved on them. Started out of a Judeo-Christian belief. Okay? Wasn't forced on anybody, but it was the foundation. The church used to be kind of the center of society. When towns were being built up, the church was one of the first buildings built, and the church kind of was built around it. Our society was heavily influenced on the teachings of God. But we've gotten away from that. Now people are offended with what the Bible says. It offends most people. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me there's a hell. Don't tell me that's mean. It's unloving. You're intolerant. They come offended. Churches today, as Jesus said would happen, have become corrupt. They don't want the Word of God anymore. 10 ways to have your best life now. That's what they want. Tickle our ears, Pastor. Tell us what good people we are and how bad those other people are. Or let's turn our whole focus on trying to fix the symptoms of sin instead of bringing the cure to sin. The gospel. So we get offended and we're divided. And because the church is offended and divided, it's permeated the culture. Our culture. We're divided. Go to part two. Have you ever seen this country is divided? They say this is worse than it was right before the Civil War. There's more hatred now than there was at the Civil War. Doesn't matter. Politics, we're divided. Race, we're divided. People groups are divided on all sorts of issues. If you don't believe just like me, you're the enemy. Europe is this way. Asia is this way. There's division everywhere. And people are offended with the truth everywhere. The 10th sign. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Go to the next slide. We are the epicenter of this movement here in Redding, California. The new apostolic reformation movement. The seven kingdom. Dominion now. Seven mountain kingdom. Dominion. All the stuff. There's many different ways they've referred to themselves. People claiming to be prophets and apostles. Greater than the apostles of Jesus. They're rewriting scripture. They're saying what they say supersedes this, even though this says this is our foundation. We're built on the teachings and doctrines of the apostles, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But now we don't need to listen to this. We just need to listen to them. This is a sign. Now there are thousands of these people calling themselves prophets and apostles, and they're leading many astray. Never seen it this bad. And I haven't seen all of church history, but I've studied it. I've studied all church history of every century from the first to now. And there's never been this much false teaching and deception ever. But that's what it'll be near the end. The 11th sign, first part. And many will be offended, betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of this, lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. The love for God, they'll grow cold. You know, America is less than 20% is sitting in church this morning. And even that 20%, many of them are sitting in churches that have become corrupted and dead. The love for God, the love for His Word. See, this gives us the law. This is order. This tells us how we live our lives and how we don't live our lives. And people don't like it. It offends them. So they're going to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter what this says. I don't like that. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's what it says. When you were a kid, and mom and dad gave you a rule, did you go up to your father and go, I don't like that. I would definitely not you. Let's go with a shorter version. Floyd, you're a good guy, but you're not tall and intimidating. You're not this. But would your kid come to you and say, Dad, I don't like that rule. I'm not going to obey it. Would he ever do that? Yeah, but he never confronted you and just... I did one time with my dad. I thought I could take him. That old sailor taught me something. When you say you're not going to do this, you're not going to believe in this, or you're going to do your own thing against this, you're telling God no. You're telling God you're bigger, badder than He is. You're telling God He doesn't matter. And when people choose to disobey this, lawlessness abounds. There's lawlessness in the churches. Churches are endorsing what the Bible calls sin. But now you got churches saying, oh, it's not sin. Don't worry about it. Do whatever you want. Oh, the church is all about you. Oh, don't share the gospel. Don't be offensive to the people. Let's just love people. Let's just do good. But don't ever tell them they're sinners and they're going to be standing in a judgment of God and they're going to go to hell one day. Don't tell them that. That's offensive. We want people to like us because we want their money. Breaks my heart. See how many people who are lost. Because I once was. I was lost. I was wretched. I was blind and I was rebellious. And by the grace of God, I was saved. And I'm not perfect now. But I'm a born-again believer. And because of that, I have a desire to obey my Heavenly Father. I'm not perfect at it. But I don't surrender. I don't give in to sin any longer. I've been freed from that. I hope you have as well. Lawlessness in the churches because the love of God has grown cold in many people. And Jesus said Himself, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You don't keep the commandments of God, you don't love God. You may lie to yourself, you may lie to those around you. God knows. And you will be held accountable. It's just a warning. Christ came to warn. The second part of sign 11 is lawlessness out in our society. We've seen things that are just horrific today. Lawlessness. Anarchy. It's just become the norm. Let me close. 2 Timothy 3. But this I know, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be, here we go, lovers of themselves. Wow. Do you know how many selfies are posted on Instagram? 1,000 selfies. 1,000 selfies. For those of you who don't know, selfies where you take your phone and you turn it around and you take a picture of yourself. There's 1,000 selfies posted to Instagram every 10 seconds. There are 93 million selfies each day. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. That's obvious. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Boasters, people are so prideful nowadays. Man. Get offended. I offend people all the time just talking and telling them what this says because they're prideful. They don't want to hear the truth. Blasphemers, man, you can't go anywhere. You can't even listen to commercials today without hearing the Lord's name in vain, can you? And sometimes worse. Can't watch TV shows or movies at all. Because the Lord's name, they're blaspheming God's name constantly. I've even heard it in church. Yeah, I've heard people say it here. I'll correct them when I hear it. Maybe it was a slip up, but don't blaspheme God's name in this church. Disobedient to parents. There we go. We say all kids are disobedient. This is not talking about just simple disobedience. This is talking about rejecting what your previous generations have done. And society is doing that. This millennial, they're rejecting God. Or they're rejecting the biblical stance of God. They're coming up with their own way. It's called spiritualism today. Just be spiritual of some kind. Believe in something. Just believe whatever you want deeply enough. Now God will count it to you for righteousness. No, that's not what the Bible says at all. Unthankful. People are unthankful today. Everyone's entitled to everything. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal. I mean, Maxine. 60 years ago. How many mass shootings can you remember? Helen said next to Maxine, when you were in eighth grade, what was the worst thing that could happen at school? Chewing gum. Now we have armed teachers. We have rapes that take place in school, drug deals that take place in school, murders that take place in school. Whew. People have become brutal. No self-control. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. The power of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Who is our guarantee of salvation. There's a lot of people who believe in God. Claim belief in God. Even the biblical God. But they deny the Holy Spirit. A lot of people out there claim. But there's no Holy Spirit in their life. It means they haven't been redeemed. They haven't been saved. They're not born again. They're hypocrites. Having a form of God that's denying its power. And from such people turn away. There is one good sign though. Let me get the last sign out here. The 12th sign. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Then the gospel has gone out around the world. Through the internet, missionaries, even places that aren't Christian now. They used to have Christian missionaries. China is one. Iran, it's becoming a Christian hotspot of all places. The gospel has gone out around the world. It doesn't say everyone is going to hear the gospel, but that the gospel will be preached everywhere. The gospel has been preached to over 5 billion people in the world. It's gone to every nation. The Bible has been translated into every language and nation. Even when the church has failed, and we've started to stumble in sharing the gospel, God is still getting it done. Gospel's gone out. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, we see these signs in Scripture. Now, if we only saw 1, 2, 3 happening around us, just say, well, we're maybe getting close. But we still have a ways to go. But folks, I just gave you 12 signs, and all 12 have taken place or are taking place. All 12. Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draws near. That moment, that twinkling of an eye is coming. 1 Corinthians 13, or 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Whew. It's great that we look back to a moment when God's plan was fulfilled and Christ came. But there's a moment coming. There's a moment coming. People weren't ready then. Not many will be ready now. But you can be. There's a moment coming. But until that moment comes, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my brothers, my sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, we have one job here, folks, to take the truth of the gospel to those around us. And we keep taking it to people until that moment happens. And we're gone. Here's the reality. Jesus, He really came the first time. And He's coming again. And we are to take great hope in this. If we can take hope that He came, how much more hope do we have in the coming of Christ? In that moment. It could happen today. Just like that preacher in the video was saying, it could happen and boom. Whew. Could happen tonight. Could happen next week. It's a miracle of God. You believe in all these other things? You believe in that. Are you ready? No hypocrite will go. No unbeliever will go. Just those who are in Christ by His grace. But they truly repented of their sins and they're seeking desperately to obey and honor God. Those are the ones that are redeemed. How do you know you love God? Because you seek to obey Him. You can't pick and choose how you obey. You just obey. They'll be taken. They'll be changed. And that's a moment we should be excited about. What will happen in that moment? How will we be changed? What will we see? What has He been preparing for us? Not because we deserve it, but because He's good. It's something you should allow yourself to think about. Because thinking about that moment has a tendency to change how we live in this moment. But when you don't think about that, this moment becomes about you. It's not about us. It's about Him and the life He purchased with His blood. It's about His mission and His calling upon our lives. But we make life all about us. We make our most of the time, our God is us. I want a bigger God than me. All right? I'm no good as a God. I want a good God. A great God. I want my life to matter. There's a moment coming, folks. Are you ready? When the trumpet sounds, in a twinkle of an eye, are you ready? What will it be like? That's what I want us to end this year thinking about and starting the new year. What will that moment be like when we finally get to see our Savior face to face? Let's sing this song and we'll be done. Let's sing this song. You can stand or you can stay seated. Let's listen. You can sing. But think about that moment that'll come.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing inside, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Help us to imagine and keep that thought in the forefront of our heart of your promise to return and take us where you are. Let us motivate us, inspire us, encourage us, strengthen us. But Lord, at the same time, until that moment happens, Help us to stay focused on what you have called us to be and what you have called us to do. And for us to be able to see with your eyes those around us who are lost and in need of hope. And Lord, I know not all people will accept you. They have free will. But I ask you for those who are struck, wounded, being destroyed by pride and stubbornness, sinfulness, Lord, that your love for them will break through. The truth will come home. And they will repent. They will humble themselves before you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ask you, Lord, those that are your servants in here, that we will serve you faithfully in this new year. We live for you and you alone. Thank you for your grace, for how you have provided for us. Help us to honor you, Christ. Help us to honor you. We pray this in your name. Amen.